Hello, friends. Jim Nance here for Lineup Logic. This is not Jim Nance. This is Sean. I'm doing a terrible Jim Nance impression. I'm very sorry. Masters weekend, it's coming up. You know that we're going to have you covered. Guys, tons of golf content. You are going to see Mike and Alex getting in there with their cheat sheet. They're going to give you, listen to this, they're going to give you their top plays for the weekend. You got to keep your eyes posted on Lineup Logic for that content. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. You're going to get a preliminary core of some of their favorite plays. Of course, you're going to hear the podcast breakdown from the guys on Masters weekend. It's going to be amazing. But if you want to get involved in all of their picks and plays, and you want to get involved in some Masters action this weekend, patreon.com/lineuplogic. You can get the all-in package, which will include NBA, MLB, and PGA, $20 for the month. Come on. Everything. Get involved. It's a tradition unlike any other. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in the Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate to come on FanDuel and DraftKings. I'm your host, Sean Kane. We are back from the long Easter weekend. I hope you guys had a nice little break there. Of course, no basketball last night because of the national championship. And I have to think that NBA gives everybody a day off on these big holidays at some point, right? But we come back to a 14 game slate. Yes, you heard that right. 14 games, virtually every single team in action tonight with, I believe the exception being the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Detroit Pistons. Those are the only teams that I believe are out of action this evening. So literally every team in the NBA will be playing. Obviously we got a ton to talk about. Before we do that, I want to remind you guys, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Our premium content never quit, right? We just had, I've continued the pod on NBA just because I know we have a long, strong following of NBA listeners who want to continue to play. So going to stick with them through the end of this season. And our NBA premium content will continue, of course. But our MLB content has fired up as well. So you're actually getting 2-for-1 right now over at patreon.com if you are subscribing to Lineup Logic. And there's only going to be about 10 days of 2-for-1. You get MLB and NBA content right now until the end of the NBA regular season. And then we'll switch it over to MLB full-time, man. Full-time. And listen, it's not just the cheat sheet, which is a survey of our favorite players broken down by pricing, role, kind of how they fit into your lineup, potentially whether or not they're good cash game, tournament plays. It fits a lot of different players, how different, you know, players profile on any given slate. For baseball, we add stacks, we add a potential home run upside guys. We have obviously a comprehensive list of pitchers. We also have tools. You know, we have a whole suite of tools in Excel that, you know, splits tools, pitcher rating, everything like that, that we are working on and developing as the year goes along, that we refine. So, you know, we try to pride ourselves on creating unique tools for recreational players that make it easy for you to enjoy the game, build your own lineups, try to get better on your own rather than paying out the nose for premium resources. That aren't nearly as useful because they don't come with the human contact that our Slack chat and our community provides, the help, the assistance, the conversation that comes with being a DFS player. That's a huge part of this. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Very important. Appreciate the support of the show. Get over there while you can. But let's not waste any time because we got 14 games and I'm not kidding. 14 games. Are you kidding me? 14 games to talk about. So let's go ahead and jump straight into this slate. All right. We're going to start, obviously, on the East Coast here. We have the Nets at the Sixers. This should be a relatively competitive game right now. We're looking at a 223 total, one of the higher numbers on the night, and Philadelphia is favored by 8 in this one, implied for 115 at home, and the Nets favored, or excuse me, implied for 107. Like I said, this game, very competitive last time out, especially now with no Joel Embiid. You think that the Nets, which are an Eastern Conference team that gives people a run for their money, they don't win a lot of games. They don't want to win a lot of games. But they don't mind giving people a run for their money because, you know, they are trying to be competitive. As far as injuries go, Dario Saric out for the 76ers as well as Joel Embiid. It's going to open up a whole lot of front court. Okay, that's going to open up a whole lot of front court. And the guy who's been the biggest beneficiary is Ersan Ilyasova. We talked about him on a Friday night versus Atlanta being a sneaky play. What does he do? Goes out and throws down 47. On Sunday, without Saric in the lineup because of this elbow injury, he put up 22 in 26 minutes. Now, I like the matchup with Brooklyn quite a bit. I expect him to be up near 30 minutes at the minimum. You're going to probably see about 20 minutes from Rashawn Holmes. You could see 20 plus from Amir Johnson as well. But you can also run a pretty small lineup against this Brooklyn team. So you're probably not going to see too much there from these guys, you know, too much run. Markelle Fultz, can't get too excited about him just yet. Still not over 20 minutes. As soon as we see him break 20, 24 minutes, then you can start to get a little bit more interested. But I think for this game, what I'm really interested in is the front court, Ersan, Rashawn Holmes, Amir Johnson. What's hard to project is the minutes rotation for Holmes and Johnson. What's not hard is Ersan Ilyasova. Go to him easily in this one. He'll be running the four for a majority of the game. No problem going there. Obviously, also no problem with Ben Simmons. Like him quite a bit in this spot. On the opposite side of things, D'Angelo Russell starting over at point guard here. They've been playing Allen Crabbe at the two. There's no serious injuries that we have to be worried about in Brooklyn. It's just kind of the question of the hot hand approach with the rotation. Although Caris LeVert seems to be good for 30 plus minutes of late. RHJ seems to be good for 30 plus minutes as well. So if you want to get a little bit of a game stack going, this would be an interesting one. I think it would be undervalued as far as a game stack goes, but a lot of good concentrated fantasy value. Moving over to the Raptors going down to Cleveland. This is a 223 total as well. Cleveland is favored by 2 at home, which is good. Good for them. Good sign that they're actually favored at home when they're supposed to be favored at home in this situation. Of course, this is, you know, to battle the best right now, and Cleveland has been hot. They have been playing phenomenally well in their last 10. No Kyle Korver, but hasn't really affected things too much. I think some more minutes for J.R. Smith. He hasn't been particularly productive. In some spots he has, in some spots he hasn't. That's kind of J.R. Smith. You can't really go to that. Rodney Hood and George Hill playing plenty as well. And Jose Calderon getting a little bit more run kind of as a bench point guard role. So what do you want to do here? Well, you want to play LeBron. You want to play LeBron. Kevin Love is back from his concussion, played poorly against the Pelicans, did not get a ton of run in that spot, got minutes against Dallas, didn't shoot the ball particularly well. So certainly seems to be due for a little bit of a bounce back here as he shot poorly in the last two, hitting only 7 of 23 shots in that stretch. On the Toronto side of things, no serious injuries that we need to be worried about on that side. That team is just, knock on wood, very, very lucky with their health this year. Kyle Lowry playing consistently well. DeMar DeRozan playing consistently well, but also just displaying a massive range of outcomes, all dependent on his scoring load and how much he's taken on. Love this game. Love the competitive nature of it. Love the actual need and value of both teams to continue to compete as they go towards the top of the East. So plenty to like about that one. Moving over to Atlanta at Miami. This is a 197 total. or excuse me, 207 total. I'm sorry. My mental math, not very good. Miami is favored by 11 in this situation. Obvious blowout risk here. Got to be concerned about the Miami situation. They are fully healthy. The rotation is deep. So what do you do with a fully rotation, you know, deep? You have to be careful because as much as you want to go to some of these guys against Atlanta, you do worry a little bit about the potential of a blowout, and as you should. And I think the one guy that I've seen that feels blowout proof to me is Justice Winslow. And the reason I say that is because in a situation when they take Dwayne Wade off the court, just to limit his minutes, to make sure that he does not have to go for extra time, Winslow is going to be the guy that plays down the stretch in the fourth. It's what happened in the Chicago game, for example. Dwayne Wade plays 18 minutes, okay, and Justice Winslow plays that fourth quarter and gets himself up towards 26 minutes there. So you can see that almost direct 8-minute trade there of what's happening. Josh Richardson playing extremely well, but if I'm interested, that's when I'm attacking Winslow and Richardson in this situation. Of course, you can also look at the point guard, shooting guard spot, Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington. I think that's risky. So that's all I'm going to in the backcourt. Now, on the frontcourt side of things, Whiteside is back. 20 minutes for Whiteside, 20 minutes for Olynyk, and then 20 minutes for James Johnson. 30-plus minutes for James Johnson. It seems to be a direct split between Whiteside and Olynyk, which basically makes neither of them particularly appealing. Whiteside's efficiency has been insane, so I think we watch his price. He's just double-doubling every time he gets the 20 minutes on the court. And him and Olynyk offer very different looks, I think, for this team. On a 14-game slate, do you want to mess with just 20 minutes of a starting center? I don't know if you do. Magic at the Knicks. This is a 209 total, one of the tightest spreads on the slate. Knicks are favored by 1 here at home. So good for them. Trey Burke has been out of his mind in the last couple games, definitely just basically saying like, I'm going to take this job. Like if I'm going to get a contract with the Knicks, and if he doesn't get a contract with the Knicks just aren't paying attention because Nikhil is a long, long ways away and you are going to need offense. And so I think Trey Burke provides that, especially his ability to shoot. If you have Kristaps and you want to surround him with shooters, that Trey Burke is going to be one of those guys, and you can get him at a discount. You may as well before he hits the market. I don't know. They haven't signed him yet, so we'll see. But he's been out of his mind, and he will certainly have plenty of good usage tonight. Michael Beasley is questionable to play with an illness, in Enes Kanter is going to be out. Now, of course, obviously, you're going to get then plenty of Kyle O'Quinn at the center position. He'll play 32 minutes. He's been about a fantasy point per minute with a little bit of Luke Kornet on the side. Kornet, the T is silent. I'm not sure if you guys know that. Soft T, Kornet, Luke Kornet. I mentioned the fantasy value here can be, you know, a combination of THJ and Trey Burke, who have been relatively productive in the last two games. THJ, interestingly enough, usage is there, minutes is there. He goes cold and it disappears in the peripheral. So I think Burke is a little bit more interesting to me just from the fact that he will control the ball and create a lot more plays and potential for more peripherals in this situation. On the Magic side of things, I mean, this team is very hard to recognize right now. It's really, really big. DJ Augustine, Wes Iwundu, and John Isaac. That's who you're expecting to start at 1-2-3 right there, because no John Simmons. John Isaac is questionable, though. So if he plays, great. Okay. But they've been giving Rodney Purvis some good run. Mario Hezonja has been getting 27 minutes. Let's not play the Magic. They're not competing for anything. It's hard to predict what they're going to do unless it's an early slate. Washington at Houston. We have no total in this one. And my guess is the only reason we don't have a total is because there's some questions about whether or not John Wall and Chris Paul will play. I assume John Wall will play. He returned to action the other night, played 33 minutes without restriction, and then sat on Sunday, and the Wizards promptly lost to the Bulls. So, good sign for the Wizards' playoff run of what is to come there. No, Wall, I'm guessing, will play. This is a good game for him to, you know, kind of get back into things and you know, test his legs against a very good Houston team, obviously. As far as Chris Paul, I don't see him playing. He's got a sore hip. This is an out-of-conference game. They're at home. It just doesn't make sense to me that they would play, that he would play. He sits out the Spurs. You know, if you sit out the Spurs, then you're clearly not that concerned about going. And so going against a team like Washington doesn't make a lot of sense. Eric Gordon would, of course, then become chalk, as well as James Harden. But Gerald Green has been in the starting lineup as well as a guard in that rotation. So no question that Eric Gordon is definitely a good Eric Gordon, Gerald Green will be good and popular value plays so long as Chris Paul is ruled out. Boston at Milwaukee. This is Milwaukee favored by 2 at home. Milwaukee had a nice road trip. With the exception of the overtime loss to Denver, they got nice win over over Golden State, nice win over the Lakers. Nice win over the Clippers, I believe. Yeah, right? Didn't they win the Clippers game? No, they lost the Clippers game. But a lot of production out of Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton on that road trip as well, relieving a little bit of the pressure from Giannis. But man, the minutes are huge for these starters right now. They are huge for these starters. So you have to think that a good they'll get back home. Hopefully, it'll be a nice spot for them against the Celtics. And they've played pretty tight with the Celtics. Giannis specifically has played phenomenally well versus the Celtics in a few spots here. The Celtics are banged up, but of course they are just... Brad Stevens is a magician, and he is impressive and really, really helping this team play well. You know, they are really, really doing a lot of good work. Beating Utah, they have not played since that Utah game on Friday night. So certainly should be, they played Toronto and beat them as well. Terry Rozier was questionable. He says he'll definitely play, no question about it. The production has been very good for guys like Jason Tatum and Marcus Morris, who are getting about 35 minutes now, and it really feels like they are riding these starters a little bit more. Terry Rozier getting good run. Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris getting, you know, plenty of good minutes. They're keeping the rotation a little bit tighter. I would expect them to keep the rotation a little bit tighter as well against this Milwaukee team. You want to attack the front court, but Al Horford has just not been that good. He just doesn't really have his legs. And I mean, he had a game against Phoenix, but come on. Against Milwaukee, I don't know how much I love that. On the Milwaukee side of things, no serious injuries. They're tightening the rotation, which is interesting. I don't know if Parker is going to get more minutes. He got a ton of run against Denver, which definitely took away a little bit of the offensive usage for Giannis. But, I mean, we're talking about well over 30, nearly 40 minutes for Giannis, Parker, Middleton, Bledsoe. Those core four guys, and then whoever's playing center, rotating behind them. Those guys are getting a ton of run right now, and I don't know if it's necessarily because they just want to make sure that they shore up their seed in the playoffs or what the case may be, but plenty of concentrated minutes. So if you want to go to a competitive game here, it won't be a particularly high scoring game at only 206 total, one of the lower numbers on the night, but could be interesting, an interesting spot for sure. Golden State is going to be in Oklahoma City, and they are 5-point road dogs here with no Steph in the lineup. Now, 5 points seems like Vegas is tempting us. That's what this seems like. Vegas is tempting us. They made this line so that people bet the Warriors to cover, and that makes good sense. I think it's a good idea, but you know, you probably expect this game to be a little bit closer. Golden State, you're going to see, of course, KD back in the lineup. You're going to see Draymond and Klay back in the lineup, but you are not going to see Andre Iguodala. And you're not going to see Kevon Looney. I know that that was the news that everyone was concerned with, Kevon Looney news. So there it is. No, I mean, this is a good spot for Kevin Durant. This is a good spot to go to Draymond Green. I think this is a competitive game. Those guys play 35-plus minutes. Klay as well should play 35-plus. On the Oklahoma City side of things, you know you're going to get a ton of good run out of Russ, Paul George. You know, almost 30 minutes for Corey Brewer and, you know, and of course, Steven Adams as well. They've played phenomenally well against this. They played phenomenally well against this Golden State team this year. It's strange. These games haven't been that competitive. They've been pretty one-sided in a couple of different ways. It'll be interesting to see if it's one-sided again here. And it's mostly because of dominant individual performances. If you remember, Paul George had a game and then you came back. In one of these games, Steph had a game against them at home in Oracle. So we'll be interested to see if this game actually stays close. But that spread, I think, will catch a lot of people's attention, and it seems like an interesting number to be favored by 5 against the Warriors is probably the first time that's happened all year. Charlotte at Chicago. Charlotte is favored by 5 on the road in Chicago. Now, Charlotte, listen, be careful here. This game feels very trappy. Their rotation is changing. All right. It seems like once they flipped to April, they decided that it was time that they're going to start to do some more developmental stuff. And we saw on Sunday, you saw Nick Batum, Kemba Walker, everybody was under 30 minutes. You saw some more developmental minutes for some of the younger guys. So I would expect that to continue. I don't necessarily love this spot. You're going to have to start to take some risks. I think you could go to someone like MKG with a degree of confidence. For some reason, his minutes went up. He got 32 minutes against Philadelphia the other night. And that was because I believe Dwayne Bacon was out. We'll see if Dwayne Bacon plays. Strangely enough, I think that that's going to matter. And as ridiculous as that sounds, if Dwayne Bacon doesn't play, then you're probably going to be able to play Michael Kidd-Gilchrist for 30 minutes, which is interesting against the Bulls for sure. But as far as Kemba Walker or Nick Batum or Dwight Howard, listen, 25 minutes from those guys is simply not enough. So I think you could look at Willie Hernangómez, who in his last two performances against Washington and Philadelphia, much better front court performances, defenses, 16 and 22 minutes. He scores 24 and 34 fantasy points with barely any offensive scoring. We're talking mostly rebounds, blocks, steals, etc. So a whole lot of a peripheral production for Willie Hernangómez. I mean, in this Philadelphia game, you know, 22 minutes, 11 rebounds, 15 points on just 3 field goal attempts, but 14 free throws, found his way to the free throw line quite a bit, and did that in the Washington game for 6 free throws as well. So double-double in that game at 1.5 fantasy points per minute, which has been about what he's doing. So he's an interesting tournament-type profile for me. If you want to attack the Chicago team, I think you're going to have to be creative. Portland at Dallas. This is a 207 total here. Portland is favored by 9 on the road. They are implied for 108 to Dallas's 99. Kind of a low number here. No serious injuries on the Portland side, of course, except for the loss of Mo Harkless for basically a couple weeks here. So you're not going to see Mo Harkless. Evan Turner has been playing a good amount, but some of those minutes are going to start to shift towards Pat Connaughton. Strangely enough, he's not in play, but just so you know, you're not necessarily thrilled about Evan Turner in this situation, unless it's a plus matchup. Now, matchup at the wing against Dallas, not that exciting, especially with the pace that they're playing. I think if you want to go here, Nurk is very interesting to me. Dallas's front court has struggled. We'll talk a little bit more about that during the show. I don't know. Portland, to me, in this situation, feels like meh. You know, Dallas has been so bad, and their rotations have been so hard to predict. There's not much that we can look at here. Dennis Smith Jr. playing well, but not producing from a fantasy perspective. You know, similar to the numbers for J.J. Barea, Yogi Ferrell, can't really get too excited about them, to be honest with you. There's not much here, guys. I mean, Harrison Barnes has been the only one, but he really has a ceiling. His ceiling is 40 points, and we just saw that game from him, so I'm not going there. Nerlens Noel is going to be interesting in some spots, but he's too inconsistent for his price, and I think that you can stay away here from this one. Pacers at the Nuggets. This one should be fun. I like this. Nuggets are favored by 3 at home. Every game is a must-win game for them. Pacers continue their Western Conference road trip. Nuggets are going to be without Gary Harris, so you are going to see Will Barton in the lineup. Now, what's really interesting is whether or not Wilson Chandler plays. He has a broken nose. He is questionable. We'll see how much, you know, swelling or whatever the case may be with that nose. If it keeps him out, you are going to get a whole lot of Torrey Craig. Torrey Craig, you know, played 36 minutes against Milwaukee. Now, that was an overtime game, and it's not a great matchup. You don't love the matchup on the wing versus Indiana, but he's still going to play minutes, and he's nearly min price. So Torrey Craig is an interesting spot. Keep your eye on the Will Barton news, or excuse me, the Wilson Chandler news. A lot of the production has just shifted to the front court, which is where the talent on this team lies. Jokic and Millsap have been out of their minds in the last 2-3 games. All the usage is there for these two guys, 20 attempts for both of them. That's probably the way it should be. They should be an outside-inside team. And it seems like Jamal Murray has benefited from that as well. So spotting up off of Jokic and off of Millsap in those spots on the Denver side, that is where I'm going to go, front court for sure. On the Pacers side of things, you know, they continue to play well. And I think a high pace game like this with competitive team, I think it's good for them. I think it's interesting. I'm interested in Darren Collison. I'm interested in Oladipo. I want to attack them in the backcourt for sure. I don't want to deal with the front court matchup. I want to go to the Denver side of things. So it's kind of an opposite attract here. I think this is a fun game, maybe a little bit under the radar. Lakers at the Jazz. No line in this one just yet. Oh, nope. Some places have it up. Hold on. We have a total. We have a 208 total in this one. And it is the Jazz by 11, 109 to the Lakers 98. Jazz at home, massive favorites here. No serious injuries for the Jazz, but we can't really touch them here, guys, because the thing that you really have to be worried about a blowout. And, you know, listen, we could definitely see a blowout here because of the injuries on the Lakers side of things. We are going to probably be without Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. So you are going to get a whole lot of Alex Caruso, a whole lot of Josh Hart, and some Tyler Ennis behind that. KCP will play 40 minutes and has been very, very ineffective. Kyle Kuzma will play a ton, but I imagine it's pretty hard to score without anybody really distributing well to you. Julius Randle and Brooke Lopez as well. Now, Brooke Lopez has started to see his minutes slow down, which you wonder if the Lakers are now even going deeper into the tank by giving Zubac 20 minutes a night and giving Caruso 30 minutes a night. There is another level to the Lakers tank, which I think is what we have to be concerned about. If the Lakers are fully deploying the cavalry and they are in full severe tank mode, 20 minutes of Aviga Zubac and Nigel Hayes and even some Travis Ware are going to create an unstoppable tank force that very few teams can compete with. So you have to be careful about this because it's really, I mean, even like I said, Nigel Hayes getting minutes here. It's concerning. And this Utah team is so good. I was saying to Ryan yesterday, honestly, Utah, whoever they play in the first round, they could beat anybody. They could absolutely beat anybody. They could, right now, they, I believe, are slated to take on the Thunder, the 4-5 matchup. It's a nightmare for the Thunder. That's seven games at the minimum. And it's also seven games at the maximum. That's just how that works, Sean. They're just too good. I mean, they continue to add depth. They continue to find useful players. Royce O'Neal's been playing useful minutes for them. Dante Exum returned and scored 21 points against Minnesota off the bench. You know, they've been able to reduce the load on Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors in the front court. Jay Crowder was a huge add for them. This team is just too damn good. They're going to demolish the Lakers tonight. So what do you do? How do you play that? I think you can look at the starters. I think you have to understand that there's not really a ceiling there for them. You know, and you have to be careful about that. You can't play Dante Exum yet, but holy smokes, for him to finally come back, be healthy, 27 minutes against Memphis, 31 fantasy points. He shoots 8-for-10 from the field, 4-for-6 from the field against Minnesota. Don't mind the fact that he shot 3-for-4 against Boston and 5-for-8 against Golden State. The efficiency is here. This kid is on fire right now. And, you know, hopefully he can stay healthy, stay on the court. We want to see that for him. He's been he's been impressive. Sacramento at Phoenix. No total in this one. Of course, this is the tank bowl, the toilet bowl. Who can lose faster? You know, we know what the rotation is going to look like in Sacramento. It's been the same thing the whole time. You got to look at some of these guys against the Suns. The Suns have been absolutely terrible. Devin Booker questionable with a hand. TJ Warren is, you know, TJ Warren has been out of the lineup as well with his back, so you wouldn't expect him to return anytime soon. He has not played since St. Patrick's Day when that back took him down. So Warren and Booker, again, questionable. I don't know. I would expect that they're not going to play. You saw starting lineup and Elfrid Payton sitting out as well. You saw starting lineup on Sunday of Tyler Ulis, Troy Daniels, Josh Jackson, Marquise Chris, and Dragan Bender. So who is producing? Obviously, Josh Jackson continues to produce. He's getting as many shots up as he wants. 25 shots a game. Dragan Bender produced a little bit. Marquise Chris is actually playing respectable basketball in the last three games. He's been over 35 fantasy points. I could definitely go to these guys. We have all of these guys ruled out by for Phoenix, and you get some of these tank type players and you get Marquise Chris against the Sacramento Kings, sure. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal against the Kings, that fine. Although Scal is questionable here with an ankle. De'Aaron Fox would be the other guy that I would definitely feel comfortable going to. 30 minutes for him. Buddy Hield, he's been playing 30 minutes. He's been playing well. You're going to pay for it, though. Bogdan, probably the best priced guy. I mean, this is so depressing to talk about. San Antonio at the Clippers. This is a 209 total. San Antonio favored by one on the road. Just a slap in the face to the Clippers. You can't even get Vegas's love when you're at home in Staples Center. San Antonio, just unbelievable that they've been able to sustain through everything they're dealing with. Marcus Aldridge has been an animal. He's 32 years old. He double-doubles every single night. He creates fantasy value every single night. He is going to do so again at the center position. We want to attack the Clippers. So no issues with LaMarcus in this situation at all. Of course, on the Clippers side of things, Danilo Gallinari comes back just in time to ruin what we understand to be a clear rotation. Although it seems like all of his minutes have been taken away from guys like Milos is losing a couple. He lost about 13 minutes. Sindarius Thornwell lost a few minutes. Where is he? Sam Decker is going to lose all of his minutes, and Wesley Johnson is going to lose all of his minutes. This is where, and Montrezl Harrell is going to lose a couple minutes. That's where all Gallo's 30 minutes just came out of thin air from. I don't like him here. I don't like him in this spot. I don't think you go to Gallo here. The Clippers, I'll wait and see what the rotation looks like here, and then maybe we'll pick on them later, because they are a team that's relevant because they want to continue to fight for seeding. All right, let's go over to the player breakdown. We got a lot of players to talk about. We'll figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, all right, all right. Let's start at the top of the slate here. Russ versus Golden State. Obviously, very, very interesting to get Russ in what it should be the one of the most competitive games of the night. Even though it's a 5-point home spread for them, this is just, this game has blood written all over it. He is 11-7 on FanDuel, 11-8 on DK. Of course, the fantasy points per minute, nearly 1.5. The ceiling has, you know, the floor has basically been 50 fantasy points of late, 30% usage rate. He's at home, which gives him a nice boost here. You know, they need to continue to win in order to get the seeding straight here, depending on, you know, they just want to win as many games as they possibly can. Hopefully find themselves, maybe find themselves in, you know, luck into a 3 seed, something like that, with a couple random losses from the Spurs. And they can, you know, maybe have to deal with the 6 seed. That said, that's probably not going to happen, you know, but they are right there with the Spurs. And if they can, like I said, if they can somehow continue to win and just hope that the Spurs at some point lose randomly, they could possibly take that 4 seed, then they would just flip flop with the Spurs, but that would give them home court advantage, right? So that's something to think about. So they do have something to fight for here. They do have something to fight, which, by the way, means the Jazz are right now matched up with the Trailblazers, which is literally any Portland fan's nightmare. It's a nightmare for them. We've seen three big games, right? In three big games back to back to back versus point guard versus Golden State here. Fox had a big game. Bledsoe had a big game. Ulis had a big game. That's nothing to sneeze at. Those names are not phenomenal. So you like the ceiling potential for Russ. He's played no fewer than 35 minutes in the last five. Floor's been 1.2 fantasy points per minute and 44 points during that stretch. Okay, that's not quite what we wanted, but it's a little bit higher. Remember that earlier stretch when he was really struggling to break 50 on a regular basis? Not quite the same here. He went for 70 against Denver. We know the ceiling is going to be there. We have a nice total. He scored anywhere from 65 to 40 fantasy points in this match, which is kind of the story of his season. He flows with the game. I think if you're saying that none of these games have been close, which was weird, this one could be potentially close. I think I like Russ in this situation, and I don't know how many people will play him, especially when you have James Harden here at 11K versus Washington with the questionable tag for Chris Paul. If Chris Paul gets ruled out, obviously James Harden becomes an excellent play, and he should be an excellent play. He's been almost the exact same as Russ on the season, averaging 53 and 1.5 fantasy points per minute with 33% usage rate over 35 minutes. Of course, he would have a nice matchup on the wing with Bradley Beal. Not a perfect matchup. Beal's a good defender, but, you know, we know his ability to draw fouls and create against everybody. He's averaged 48 and over 30 minutes in the last five, anywhere between 1 and 1.8 fantasy points per minute, so the ceiling is still there. Last time they played the Wiz, they actually lost in this game. 29 minutes he played against them and only had, like, 28 fantasy points. It's not a phenomenal matchup on paper, but this is James Harden in a competitive game. Don't have to say much more to me, especially if Chris Paul is out. That's really it. I mean, it's simple math for me. This is one of the NBA's best players, so not necessarily something that I am scared of. I think Harden is an interesting and excellent play here. LeBron versus Toronto. Listen, we just saw this game from LeBron. He smashed. He went for 71. He's been on a tear. They've got one loss in the last nine. Very, very impressive. They beat this Toronto team during that stretch. Like I said, he had a triple-double in that game, well over 1.3 fantasy points per minute, twice over 1.5 in the last five. The question is in the last two games, you've seen him tone it down, okay, against the Pels and against the Mavs. Now, the Mavs game makes sense, right? The Mavs game makes sense because against the Mavs, they're slow. And they're decent defense. The Pels game was interesting, though. The 56-point performance makes you feel like is LeBron like charging his battery here so that he's not necessary? He's running in neutral so he doesn't run out of gas before he gets to the playoffs. Is he worth paying for at 12.5? Is he worth the salary at 12K on DK? The answer is yes for the ceiling and the competitive nature of this game. He is going to play nearly 40 minutes, but I wouldn't be surprised if you get a 56-point performance out of him. And I think you're going to have a pretty strong group of guys in contention tonight for 50-point performances. And so it's going to be a lot of what I think it's going to be about is getting those 50-plus point performances for the cheapest potential dollar value that you can. And I think LeBron is probably the higher end of that, the more expensive 50-point performance, LeBron James. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. It makes me a little bit worried to pay that much. But again, the floor is so high. The consistency is so clear. So I think that there is definitely some appeal to LeBron just with the high floor potential. I mean, there's zero bust potential here is, I guess, the easiest way to say that. So, yeah, Giannis versus Boston. I think he is an interesting, really interesting pivot here at 11.2 on FD, 10.8 on DK. That's a nice price on DK. I think he's been great, obviously, but in the last five games, he's averaged only 45 fantasy points, you know, which is well below the season average of 52. He's been over 40, but over 40 isn't really what I want. Like, if I want over 40, I'm just, I know Ben Simmons has a floor of 40. Like, I'm going to go there. I'm not going to pay 2K extra for a floor of 40. What I will say that Giannis has going for him is he's averaged 57 in three games against Boston. Clearly, they have a problem guarding him with nearly 40 minutes in all of those games. The minutes are there. The minutes are insane right now for Giannis. The minutes are upwards of 40, nearly 40 minutes in these games. He's at home, competitive spread. That I like. There's a lot of things in his favor, not the least of which is the way that he's being used and the way that he's performed against this team previously. But Boston, very good defensive team. And Giannis sharing the ball a little bit more, I think, distributing. If you saw what they did in these last three games, the way that they distributed the usage between Bledsoe, Middleton, and Parker, you wonder if philosophically they're looking towards trying to play off of Giannis a little bit more as a little bit more of a distributor. So I think he's an interesting pivot, but I'm going to classify him as a pivot, just exactly that. KD versus Oklahoma City. He had two nice games recently versus Sacramento and Phoenix, but okay, come on. Well above 1.5 fantasy points per minute, even with Clay and Dre out there, not necessarily affecting his numbers. But he has struggled in a major way against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, it's not really fair to characterize player performance in these games because the game script has been very, very strange. He's only had 42 as a ceiling in that matchup. The issue was, of course, remember, we've had two plus blowouts. There haven't been competitive fourth quarters down the stretch. And, also Steph is there. So you have a situation in which Kevin Durant hasn't really had to go nuclear. I think he's an obvious play for his price on FanDuel. If you expect this one to be the 38 minutes of Kevin Durant, barking at Russ, up in his face, taking the booze, loving the snake chants, the cupcake chants, the cupcake signs in Oklahoma City. Like, if you want that evil in your lineup, you got no choice. You got no choice. If you are a believer in the Slim Reaper, you've got no choice. 10-7 on FanDuel is just too cheap. He's just too cheap for the potential 60-point ceiling that this man has. And listen, his price, his performance, his fantasy performances have late have not been what, you know, LeBron has been, or even Giannis in some situations. Hard, but like, you mean to tell me you can find a way to get James Harden and Kevin Durant into your lineup tonight? You're not going to take that? Come on now. The price is simply too inexpensive. 10-7 is a very, very good price for him, so it makes me interested, and that's part of the reason why I would potentially move away from Giannis in this situation. Moving over to the power forward position, I am very, very interested in Ben Simmons. This is a guy who I also think is wildly underpriced. I really do. He is simply not properly priced at 9.9 on FanDuel. And he is, sorry, I have to look for this. I don't know where I, there it is. 9.9 on FanDuel, 9.6 on DK. He's shown a floor of 40, but the last two games without JoJo, he went for 50 against Atlanta in 29 minutes. And he went for 66 just the last game out. They're on a 10-game win streak. They got Brooklyn at home. He's been at 1.57 fantasy points per minute in the last five. He had 2 fantasy points per minute against Charlotte. 2. 31 minutes of play, 66 fantasy points. This kid is bananas. This is LeBron 2.0. It is. I don't know what else to say. This is LeBron 2.0 without the three. If he can develop the three, great. Wonderful. The free throws, that's actually my biggest concern, is the free throw. You got to get to 75% for people to respect you, right? But this is LeBron 2.0. Tell me I'm wrong. Wait till we get into the playoffs. You see Ben Simmons in the playoffs and he drops 24 points and 10 assists. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to start to go, oh, shit. He's 20 years old. I saw a stat last night. He was only 42 days older. He is 42 days older than Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson, point guard for Villanova. Not the white kid, Dante DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo. Not him. The other one that plays like Chris Paul. And he does play like Chris Paul. Tell me that straightaway three is not Chris Paul. Just dribble straight down the court. Boom, bang. Kid can shoot. Anyway. Oh man, gets me excited just thinking about how he can shoot. Anyway, at the center position, another guy that I'm interested for the price is Jokic. I love the Yoke Monster in this one. He's been insane right now. And you talk about a guy who is slightly underpriced, Nikola Jokic, 10-7, dude, 9-8 on DK. Get after that DK price. I'm very interested. He has been out of his mind of late. Of course, we saw him, you know, around floating around 40 fantasy points all season long, but over 50 fantasy points, 3 games with 40 minutes, and all 3 of those in must-win situations. This is the 4th best center matchup on the slate. Okay, there have been 3 straight big games a week ago from 3 straight mediocre centers. Jonas Valanciunas, Gortat, and Brolo all had big games according to Fantasy 5x5 big game metrics. A few duds from DeAndre Jordan, which is very strange. Zaza Pachulia played 10 minutes. Willie Cauley-Stein had 39. So, like, Jokic's usage is there, 25% usage. He's been playing insanely well. Him and Paul Millsap together have been just absolutely taking the lead for this team. So, I love Jokic here. I think he's an interesting way to spend 5 figures on this slate. And I think he's too cheap on DraftKings. So, I think he's a really interesting way to be different. Moving on to the Grout, like 5 point guard potential plays that you have here on this slate, and I'll run them down real quick. Kyle Lowry versus Cleveland is interesting. Rubio versus LA, okay. Trey Burke versus Orlando and Darren Collison versus Denver. I bet you weren't expecting to hear all of those names, but those are the guys that I'm interested in here. So let's start with my man Kyle Lowry here versus Cleveland. You guys know I'm going to talk about him as a high floor play every single time he is on the slate, because that is exactly what he is. He is only 7-9 on the road versus Cleveland. He's been very, very good in the last couple games, well over 32 minutes with over 35 fantasy points per game. Lowry just, he has a ceiling. And unlike a lot of other players at that price range, he also has a very, very high floor. Listen, okay, fine. He has 29 points, fantasy points against the Clippers, 26 against Boston. Didn't shoot well, frankly. Only 11 points in both of those games, shot 4 for 10 from the field, you know, 4 for 13. That's not great, okay? Fine. You take that because you know that there are games when he can blow up like he did against Brooklyn, where he triple-doubled 25, 10, and 12 for 54 fantasy points across 37 minutes. Just last time out in this Cleveland game, 39 fantasy points across 32 minutes, 24, 4, and 7. I fully expect him to play 35 minutes here. I fully expect him to be on 10, 1.2 fantasy points per minute. I'm all in. I would love to be able to find a way to get Kyle Lowry into my lineup. Of course, it's a little bit challenging with the price tag, but I love Kyle Lowry in this spot. I want Rubio at 8K. It doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense, but he has been really, really, really good recently. I mean, three of the last five, he's been over 40, and in tough matchups, 40 against San Antonio, 40 against Boston. That tells you a lot of what you need to know. 40 against Minnesota in 27 minutes. The efficiency is unbelievable. When he's hitting that three, he is dangerous, man. He's dangerous. He's had double digit assists in that Boston game. Usage has only been about 23% in that spot, but 1.14, 1.2 fantasy points per minute. The Lakers are terrible, and that's the hard part. How many minutes does he have to play? A well-disciplined Jazz team against this very bad Lakers team playing, you know, Alex Caruso. Like, come on, does he need to do more than 30? You know, does he need to do more than 30 minutes? Doesn't really seem like he should need that. So I don't know Rubio's risk in that respect, especially considering the price. Now, I think you have a little bit less of a risk with two guys who are in the 6K range here. Trey Burke at 6'9", 6'6". He'll probably be pretty popular with potentially no Michael Beasley and potentially no likely no Enes Kanter. Trey Burke has been out of his mind of late. He has been over 30 in basically every single game, 29 in one game. But over 30 in every single game in the last five, he's been over 48 and 62. He had performances of 48 and 62. He is currently 6'9", 6'6 on DraftKings, 1.1 fantasy points per minute, 28% usage rate. Trey Burke profiles as an elite play. You're getting him for a whole $1,000 cheaper. He profiles the same as Ricky Rubio, or excuse me, not Ricky Rubio. He profiles the same as Kyle Lowry right now. Nearly 20 points scoring, nearly double digit assists, a couple rebounds here and there, a steal or two, 1.2 fantasy points per minute across 33 minutes. That's Kyle Lowry at $1,000 cheaper, basically. So he's got Orlando. He's got one of the best matchups on the slate. You have no reason not to be interested in Trey Burke here. Just to be clear, this was his coming out party. 29 minutes against Orlando right after the All-Star break. He goes for 44 fantasy points, 26 real life points. That's when the whole Trey Burke thing started, you guys. So let's not forget that this is one of his coming out parties here. So Orlando, no question about it. This is a great spot to attack them. Darren Collison is the other one that's quietly been really, really effective. And when you look at plus minus as far as efficiency allowed, Denver has allowed the highest plus minus grade to opposing point guards. There's no reason not to believe that this is one of the best spots to attack it's absolutely one of the best spots. It's plus 2.5 as far as plus minus, and in FanDuel plus minus. You know, it's not quite as good as the Lakers. It's not quite as good as Brooklyn. But the point guard position here versus Denver, and I think Darren Collison is a little bit sleepy. I don't necessarily know that people are hip to how well he's been playing of late. At 6,200, he's just too cheap for 30 minutes against Denver team with one of the highest totals on the slate, one of the best matchups. He's been at a fantasy point per minute. You know, I mean, yeah, he had one bad game against Golden State. He only played 23 minutes. Every other game that he's in the last five, 27, 30, 30, 30. He's been well above 20 fantasy points, you know. So you do have a little bit of a floor risk with Collison, but I see him as a nice high floor 30 type point play. Does he have a ceiling? Yeah, he's shown some flashes here against really bad teams. It's a little bit of a concern. There's the occasional 40 burger that he throws down. You know, that's, you know, it's not perfect, but I think what you like is certainly the matchup the matchup with Denver is a really, really good one, and it's one that we want to continue to attack. In the last 10, it's been plus 4 above average as far as FanDuel plus minus. Now, it's not quite Brooklyn, the Lakers, or even the Kings, for that matter. Tyler Ulis is an interesting position as well, or Phoenix. But it's still very, very good as far as competitive games are concerned. All right, moving over to the shooting guard position, Bradley Beal versus Houston. For some reason, I'm feeling like Beal might go slightly under-owned tonight. I just seems like it could be the case with John Wall back, with a lot of, you know, potential high price plays, that a guy like Bradley Beal goes overlooked in this situation. And listen, it's 7,900, 72 on DK. 72 on DK is a very, very nice price for a guy who's getting 35 plus minutes, who's been averaging, 37 fantasy points on the year with a fantasy point per minute. And that's really what I'm mostly concerned about. His numbers have been up and down lately. Sure. It's a fantasy point per minute, okay? And you have one of the highest total, highest paced games, the most offensively charged teams in the NBA. Bradley Beal is going to have to score. There is no doubt about it. He is going to have to do a lot of scoring in this situation. And the last time out against the Rockets, when they won this game, he only had 24 fantasy points, but he had that only in 30 minutes. So Beal feels like an interesting spot to me. I think he could have a nice fantasy point per minute for you here. At 72 on DK, that's where I prefer him. How many people are going to play him? I don't know. I mean, we talk about a guy who definitely has a ceiling. His legs are definitely not completely there right now because he just hasn't been as electric with the ball, but he's an interesting way to pivot. Donovan Mitchell versus LA. I don't know how you're not interested in Donnie Mitch versus LA. I mean, the floor has been 30 for this guy. He's been out of his mind of late. Of course, the Lakers backcourt has been absolutely terrible. It's a plus matchup on the point guard position. We know he'll run the point. It's at least a neutral matchup against wings. You know, it's plus a small forward even to the shooting guard. KCP is a good individual defender, obviously, and he should be able to, you know, potentially not keep Donovan Mitchell in check, but you know, give him a little bit of a run for his money. But when Mitchell's running the point guard, you could see a very nice game for him. He had 32 across 27 minutes here in a win that they had earlier this year, 1.2 fantasy points per minute. You know, this team is not going to be able to stop Donovan Mitchell. I think there's a nice floor here for him. Now, can you pay the price of 8,100 where he's been basically for the last month? I don't know. 40. I don't think he gets you to 40. That's what you worry about. But I love the matchup. I love the situation. I also like Victor Oladipo. He's been up back above 40 fantasy points in the last couple games at 1.2 fantasy points per minute. Good matchup. Not great matchup, but a good matchup on the wing without Gary Harris there. Huge total in that game. Should be a fun one. Just, I have a hard time paying 9K for him. But I think it's an interesting way. I think it's an interesting spot. The one guy that I think you probably have to pay a little bit more attention to, that maybe people will miss beyond the value guys is Tim Hardaway Jr. He's 6,300, 6'7 on DK. There's not really enough scoring in this lineup. Attacking them at the three has been phenomenal. It's definitely a spot that you want to attack against Orlando. It's been a plus matchup over the last 10, much better than the two. Yeah, I mean, that's where I want to go with my money for a usage bump here. We know Hardaway has a ceiling against Orlando. He's played well. He had a nice 40-burger earlier this year. So I think THJ is an interesting way to go as well as far as these mid-range guys. I'm not going to force him in, and I'm probably going to take the value first, but I think he's an interesting spot. Moving over to the small forward position, it was interesting to me to see Otto Porter perform phenomenally well with John Wall back in the lineup. Okay, 51 fantasy points with Wall back in the lineup, banging threes against Charlotte on the wing here. You know, doing the rebounding thing, double-digit rebounds in that situation as well. 26 points and 10 rebounds. 11 rebounds, excuse me. The matchup with Houston is not perfect. Trevor Ariza is a good player, but he did the exact same thing last time out against Houston. He had 26, 6, and 7. So you like the spot-up shooter in this situation. Otto, I think, is on a smaller slate, he'd be more appealing. But I think you're getting a high floor play. You're getting 35 minutes, and you're getting a reasonable price at 7,500. It's hard to like him more than Josh Jackson, though. And let's talk about Josh Jackson at 7,300. I just don't understand why he's so inexpensive. By the way, Otto Porter, 6'7 on DK. That's, I think, where you probably play him. You probably like him on six. He's at a kind of a no man's land on pricing in DK. So I like that that spot for him a little bit more. Josh Jackson, though, 7,300 on FD, 75 on DK. 35 minutes in the last couple games, 25 shots. The usage rate has been absolutely bananas. You know, nearly 30% usage in all of these games. He's been well above 30 fantasy points since the beginning of March. Basically, since he's gotten these 30 minutes without Booker in the lineup, we're looking at one game where he was at 27 fantasy points versus Utah in the last 10. So, come on. Like, this kid, he's got it. He's got something here. There's no reason not to like the price. I don't know why he's priced so inexpensively on both sides, 73 and 75. Sacramento is a great matchup. I think he will be a very, very chalky, very easy play so long as Booker is ruled out with that hand injury. So Josh Jackson, very interesting to me. Josh Richardson is also very interesting to me. Atlanta continue to smash them at the small forward position, obviously. It's been a great matchup all year long. It's the best in efficiency plus minus on the board. There it is. I mean, what else do you need me to say? It's been the best in efficiency plus minus on the board. Richardson's had a nice floor of about 27 fantasy points. We've seen him in this matchup do well before. Current salary is 6,459 on DK. 5,900 is a nice price. It's a good price for Richardson. Of course, you don't get quite the value from him on DK because of the blocks and steals that he offers you here. But he did have a nice game against Atlanta just a little bit ago. Let me see. Where's this number? He had a 47 burger. And yeah, he put up 47 against this team in December. So Richardson is certainly at 39 to match up before that. So Richardson is certainly a high floor play. Hopefully he gets you to 32 minutes. And he should be able to take advantage of this team, no doubt about it. Even in the Bulls kind of blowout that they had, you know, he put up 37. You know, they beat the Bulls pretty badly and, you know, didn't really rely on the starters too much. But Richardson had a really, really nice game there. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. So we can definitely rely on Josh Richardson to potentially have a little bit of a ceiling. I like his, you know, kind of point per dollar ceiling. Yeah, that is it. Let's go over to the power forward position. Draymond will, I think, be a popular play, and he should be a popular play. Draymond in a competitive game against a team that he does not like is exactly what you want. Like, the argument for playing Draymond and KD is more like emotionally driven than it is actually, you know, numbers driven, because Draymond hasn't really played well against this team. He had 31 and 32 fantasy points in the two games that he played against them previously. Not particularly, you know, exciting. He hasn't really maxed it out, but this really hasn't had to be a maxing out type game. He just has gone out in his last three games returning to the lineup, shown that 30-point floor. He's gone for 31, 36, and then 44 against the Suns. Obviously, the Suns doesn't really count because they're the fucking Suns, but what you like to see is this. 6, 7, 12 assists. So the ball is working off of Draymond. He's distributing. He's handling. He's been above a fantasy point per minute. You have to know that he's going to be involved in getting this team, you know, to crush, basically. Yeah, when I think about him and KD in this spot, I really think about how they just want to, squeeze the hearts of their enemies. 8,800 for me, 86 on DK. That's a high price to pay. I like him working against Carmelo. I like him on the glass. But that is a lot. There's a lot to pay on this slate when you have so many options. So many options. And at the power forward position, frankly, Paul Millsap is underpriced in my mind. I'm definitely going to play Paul Millsap every time over Aaron Gordon, even over Julius Randle, especially Julius Randle against Utah here. I mean, I don't care what the usage rate, I don't care what everything else says. 7,100 for Paul Millsap, the way that he's playing right now, is just insane. He has been way up there. The shots came back. We had a couple tough games. On their road trip on the East Coast there, Toronto and Philadelphia, only 11 and 12 shots. And then all of a sudden, he snaps into it against OKC in Milwaukee. He takes nearly 20 shots in both of those games. He goes to 48 and 50. Without Harris in the lineup, Jokic and Millsap have been well above 20% usage. He's been at 24 and 25% usage, nearly double-digit rebounds in both of the last two games. I love the matchup with Indiana in the front court. This is a game that I want to attack. I think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be high paced. And Millsap simply underpriced for the ceiling. I mean, you're getting a guy who could easily score you 40 or 50 at 7,100. I have no problem going to Millsap. He feels like he's one of the better mispriced values on the slate. And even though, you know, listen, we attack Indiana at the center. It's still a good matchup to attack them at the power forward. We're talking about the third best matchup or fourth best matchup. It's still a good matchup to attack them at the power forward. I was misreading that chart. It is a plus matchup in both FD plus minus and efficiency plus minus. So definitely something that you want to go to. Paul Millsap, just too cheap. Let's go over, I got a lot of guys to talk about in the bargain section here, but let's go over to the center position. Two guys that I think probably go under-owned, I don't know, potentially. Rudy Gobert at 8,800, 75 on DK. That's just insane. 75 on DK versus the Lakers, guys. He's so interesting to me there. Really, really feels underpriced. And, you know, to be a whole $1,300 cheaper on DraftKings and just not acknowledging the plus matchup it is against the Lakers here. You know, okay, it's not perfect because you have Boston. His last three games, Boston, Memphis, and Minnesota, only over 30 fantasy points twice there. Okay, I understand. But what I will say is this. Offensively, he didn't have to quite do as much in those situations as I don't think it'll come as easily it doesn't come as easily in offense against Boston and Memphis specifically. This is a very, very easy double-double for him. The floor is a double-double. So I think you could absolutely see one of these ceiling-type performances from Gobert in this situation. Does he have to apply himself? That's the question. Are you going to be overpaying for a guy who doesn't necessarily have to do too much? That's the concern. I love the matchup. I love the situation. I like the price on DraftKings. You might be overpaying. The one guy that I really, really like the price on DraftKings as well, FanDuel is a little bit tougher, is Nurk. Nurk is going to be in a great matchup against Dallas. Dallas has really struggled with the center of late, and Nurk has been really, really good. You're paying for those performances now, finally, on FanDuel. He's above 8K. He's been over 40 in four of the last five, so you're finally paying for that on FanDuel at 8-1. Which is 8-4, which is a little bit disappointing because we were getting him at such a discount earlier, 6-9, if you remember. That was just such a wonderful price. Struggled against Memphis, but Ed Davis should be out, so the minutes should be clear for him. I see 28 minutes easy for him in this situation. You know, against a Dallas team that has really struggled against the center all year. He had 27 against them in just 17 minutes last time out. That's, you know, why you only get 17 minutes there is not necessarily something that I like to think about, but it does make me, you know, make it clear to you know, you clearly know that Nurk is capable of going for 1.4 fantasy points per minute against this team, and we've seen him do it, and he's been very good in the last couple games. So, yeah, I think Nurk is in a good spot. Concerned about the price, but I think he's in an interesting one. Joe Val has had some nice games against Cleveland. I think he could be in play, but there's just a lot of value here on this slate. So let's go over to the bargain basement. We'll talk 5,500 and below on FanDuel. Of course, I use FanDuel as the pricing reference because it's just stricter. And the positional restrictions are just more strict. And so it's a little bit tougher, you know, to find those pieces on FanDuel. So at the point guard position, 5,500 and below, DJ Augustine pops right there. He is 5,500 on the nose, and he will be playing 30 plus minutes against the Knicks. There you go. Tyler Ulis, 4,900. He is going to play 30 minutes against the Kings. You got to love that. He's been very good in his opportunities of late, and he's simply underpriced. De'Aaron Fox at 4,800 versus the Suns. That's ridiculous. You're paying for the fact that they let Frank Mason play a couple good games here. That's obscene. He will pop in every single model out there. That's absurd, as long as he gets the minutes. So, like, instantly you begin to wonder whether or not you have to play any point guard above 5.5K because you have three starters in good matchups down here. Augustine, Ulis, and De'Aaron Fox. Like, give me a break. Like, it's not hard. At shooting guard, 5,500, Dwayne Wade. You could see Dwayne Wade going for 30 in 18 minutes. I don't think you have to have him though. Eric Gordon will be the guy that everybody goes to. If Chris Paul is out at 5,300, makes good sense to me. I have no problem doing that. JJ Redick versus Brooklyn. Yep. 5K. No problem with him either. I think you see a nice floor from him. There's not much of a ceiling there, but there's definitely a floor of 20 plus points. If you're looking for a little bit of safety in your lineup, I think he is definitely a guy you could go to. Bogdan, though, you're getting a starter against Phoenix for 4,600. Don't need to say much more than that. He's going to play 30 minutes. He's bounced back a little bit in the last couple games. He's been much better. Damian Lee is going to play. It's not a good matchup, but Damian Lee is going to play plenty. And we've seen him be very, very good. And he, you know, finally got a little bit of a contract extension there. At the small forward position, DeMarre Carroll, for 30 minutes of DeMarre Carroll versus Philadelphia, you've had a couple rough games lately, but come on, this guy is going to play a ton, and he's a very capable starter. He had 33 last time out in 30 minutes against Philadelphia, so I have zero issue with DeMarre Carroll. I always like him. I like Trevor Ariza in the situation that, I like Trevor Ariza period for 5,100. I mean, He's just too cheap. I like, I don't mind Corey Brewer. Obviously, the Chicago guys are also in play. David Nwaba and Denzel Valentine are both probably going to play 30 minutes. This slate is bananas right now. I didn't realize the pricing was so absurd. It's funny. FanDuel scales their pricing based on players, so you're getting a lot of guys pushed down in the pricing scale because there's so many players on the slate. But yeah, I think you look at Valentine, and you can look at Valentine and Nwaba as very good values as well. This slate, people are going to score 400 points. Moving over to the power forward, Ersan is basically a lock. You have to play. I mean, you can't not play Ersan Ilyasova 30 minutes against Brooklyn. He's good. He's capable offensive player. Marquise Chris, similar, 5,200 versus Sacramento. He's been playing the center position. He's been really good in the last three or four games. Now, of course, if I play him, I want you guys to be aware he's going to score 12 points, fantasy points across 9 minutes, and he's going to get benched by Jay Triano. So that's just kind of what happens. I just want to be clear about that. Jay Crowder, 4,700 versus the Lakers. Yeah, he'll hit value. Yeah, no question in my mind. He'll score 24, 23 fantasy points. I think that's comfortable. Noah Vonleh, 4,700. He's not that good, but he's going to play. Hopefully. Oh, Amir Johnson, 4,600 versus Brooklyn. I mean, this is just bananas, guys. There's so much value on this slate. So, you know, plenty to like there. But that's about where I stop, I think. That's where I stop. Amir Johnson is probably the last of what I do there. Although Marvin Williams versus Chicago, or excuse me, Dragon Bender versus Sacramento. You could talk me into that as well. At the center position, I think it really is all about Kyle O'Quinn versus Orlando. We know he's going to play most of the minutes. Enes Kanter is doubtful. He played 30 minutes against Detroit. He scored 30. That'll be clear chalk, easy chalk early on the slate or early on in the day. Rashawn Holmes, 5,200 versus Brooklyn. He'll play. And I mentioned Willie Hernan Gomez is kind of a quiet pivot play away from all those other guys. He's interesting to me as well. If we knew that the big sauce was going to play more, I think I would play Alan Williams, but he's only been playing about 15 to 20 minutes behind Marquise Chris and Dragon Bender. So I don't know if you can play him just yet. That's it. All right, let's go ahead and let's see if we can throw together a lineup real quick on the FanDuel.com. I'm just going to go straight after some of this value hard and see how many studs I can fit in. Like, I'm going to do it. Like, there's no reason not to. Cameron Payne, Tyler Uless, De'Aaron Fox, they're cheap. James Harden is in there. When did Kevin Durant? Oh, yeah, he's probable. What am I saying? Kevin Durant in there. Let me see. Small forward. I'm going to go to Denzel Valentine. Charlotte at the wing. That's a good matchup anyway. Justice Winslow is too cheap at 47 anyway. This is ridiculous. This is insane. Power forward Ben Simmons, and then I will take Ersan to go with him. Bum 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 bum. Where are you, Ersan? 5,400. And then at center, I will go to Kyle O'Quinn. I don't know if actually I'm going to be able to fit all these guys in here. Wow. All my dreams of value abundance is, yeah, I don't have quite enough money there. Okay, well, let's play around with it a little bit. Who? The value at point guard is just ridiculous. The value at Denzel Valentine at small forward is ridiculous. Shooting guard, power forward, maybe. You need to move off of that a little bit. I guess Simmons is the problem right now. But let me see. Hold on. If I take Harden out, I have Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, and then I have 7K left per player here. Let's Let's say that Eric Gordon doesn't or goes. I can go Eric Gordon, DeMar DeRozan. That's interesting. Not perfect. I don't love that. Can go Eric Gordon, Bradley Beal. I have to fool around with it a little bit. If we go Kevin Durant, I could go LeBron, Eric Gordon, and Lou Williams. That's not great. I don't love Lou Williams against them. You go Buddy Hield. Although, actually, wait. No, you know what you do? You go Bogdan, Ben Simmons, LeBron, and then you go up to Chris Middleton. That's not that appealing. I'm going to have to fool around with this. But right now, guys, I mean, the all value that you need here is I'm just going to give you the value pieces and I'm going to let you pick your studs and kind of do whatever you want and play around with it, because the value on this slate is just absolutely bananas. So this is your all value lineup, right? Just start here and then play around with it a little bit and see where you end up. Okay. So Ulis, Fox, Gordon, Bogdanovich, Winslow, Valentine, Marquise Chris, Ersan, Kyle O'Quinn. Not one player above 5,500. Obviously, I can then do kind of whatever I want at various positions here. I can go up to LeBron. I can go up anywhere. I can go up at center. I would use this as the base. Like, let's see, if I upgrade my center, let me go up to, at center, I'll go up to Jokic. Okay, now I have 9,600. I'm going to go up to, off of Winslow, to Kevin Durant. And then I have 3,600. I'm going to go up to Victor Oladipo. So now I have a lineup with Depot, Durant, Jokic. Right, these weird combinations, it's insane. So as long as you keep that core value guys similar, pivot around them the whole way through, you can build up a lot of interesting lineup combinations. Should be a lot of fun. Hey, good luck in your contests, and we will see you tomorrow. Of course, patreon.com/lineuplogic for more masters. You have got to get involved with our masters content, patreon.com/lineuplogic. See you.